20 seconds to go.
Okay. So it'll take us 20 seconds till we open up the safer. Yesterday I gave out, Joseph was kind enough to photocopy a page. Let's see if we... Do we have such a photocopy from yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and you'll tell me what page number?
52.
52. One second, 52. Now wait, where's my copy? Oh, great. Okay. Let's see. I thought I was organized today. Let's see. Thank God. We got it. So your page says 52.
Right.
So you don't have page 53.
No.
Okay, so we'll have a discussion here on page 52, and then maybe we'll have to either photocopy page 53, or alternatively we'll say some of it bal peh. So on page 52, there's a paragraph that starts Ubimikra Megillah. It's like the end of that section before we get to the Ramban. And he points out, which we mentioned yesterday, that Kriyas HaMegillah has two dimensions to it. It's both a Kiyum Yochid and a Kiyum Tzibur. And if that be the case, then the bracha should be with a lamed, because if you remember that when you have also, like in the case of Hallel, we inject the Kiyum Tzibur, then the bracha is likros a Hallel. Correct? Because we view the Tzibur as one entity, as one Chiyuv. Stevie, you okay? You look like you're...
No, I'm fine. I like the sun.
You like the sun? Yeah, it's good to have a little sun after the last few days. It's welcome. So the question is, therefore, why in the case of Megillah do we recite Al Mikra Megillah as opposed to Hallel, which is Likros HaHallel? So the answer is that Megillah is fundamentally a Chovas Yachid, and the Bracha was established on the Chovas Yachid, and therefore the Lamed is the appropriate Bracha, as we said over and over again, for a Chovas Yachid, even though there's a Kiyum Tzibur, but the Bracha itself was established on the Chovas Yachid. And what's it leaves us a little bit wanting in Kriyas HaHallel. We said that the bracha is going to be Likros HaHallel because of the Chovas Yochid and the Chovas Tzibur. In other words, the combination of the two, which allows us to say the Lamed. So the bracha is for the Tzibur and the Kiyum HaMitzvah for the Tzibur. But in Megillah, we're going to say no, that there's a kind of a discrepancy, a conflict between the bracha, which is for the Tzibur, and the implementation of the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself is a Chovas Yachid, and therefore we have to make the bracha with a Lamed. I'm sorry, we have to shift the bracha over to an Al, I meant to say. So now, the question is, well, if in the case of Hallel, the element of Tzibur allows you to justify the bracha with a lamed, so why doesn't, in the case of Megillah, why doesn't the element of Tzibur allow you to justify the bracha with a lamed? So he just says that the bracha was nitkina on the Chovas Yochid. But now he gives another answer, and he says the following. And that's the bracha of Haraves Rivenu. So we have a bracha after the Megillah, and that bracha is only recited B'tzibur. We don't recite it B'yachid. So therefore, since we already have a bracha that was established on the Kiyum Tzibur, there's no need to establish another bracha on the Tzibur. And therefore, the bracha al Mikra Megillah, meaning before we read the Megillah, is going to be a bracha on the Chovas Yachid. The bracha on the Tzibur is going to be the bracha after Megillah. Now, remember that according to the Riva, if the mitzvah lends itself to Shlichus, then the bracha is going to be with an Al. because then the bracha is not on the chovas gavra, but rather on the cheftzah shel mitzvah. So what about lahadlik ner Chanukah? In that case, we have a classical mitzvah of efshel asosal yidei shliach. I could ask you to be my shliach to light the Chanukah on my behalf. So therefore, the bracha should be al hadlokas ner Chanukah, even in the case where you light your own ner Chanukah. But since the mitzvah per se it lends itself to shlichus, therefore the bracha is established as a bracha with an al. So why do we recite lehadlik ner shel Chanukah a kash on the riva? So the Rosh gives a very ambiguous answer. He says lahadlik ner Chanukah afal gav di'ef shel asosal yidei shliach urcha de milsa. It's generally accepted de kol adam madlik bebeso. I would add one word to the Rosh. I mean, I don't mean to change the gears, but kol adam madlik bi'atzmo bebeso, not through a shliach mishum chavivus hanes. So the Rav Zichron of Racha thought that what the Rivo is saying is that since we never established two different nuschos on the same mitzvah, then we should really determine whether we choose al or li based on what's usually done. Meaning, if shlichus is quite acceptable, let's say, for example, in the case of Mila, in most cases, I think it's fair to say that the Aviyah Ben is not the one who's Moel. In the case of Shechita, there are many, many people who are part of this Karban, so only one of them is going to Shecht. Or in the case of Kachim, usually the Kohen will do the Shechita. So there's always a Shlichus that's common, that's Rov. It's Rov al Yidei Shlichus. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, even though I could theoretically send a Shliach, however, it's not usually a custom. We don't have a custom of sending a Shliach, but rather our custom is that each person lights his own Ner Chanukah, since that's the accepted custom, is therefore the minhag itself will determine how to classify the mitzvah. Since the mitzvah theoretically is al yidei shliach, which means the bracha should be with an al, but if that custom is to do the mitzvah personally, and we don't appoint a shliach, even though it's only a minhag, but that minhag is enough to be machriya to determine whether or not the bracha should be established as a bracha on a chovas a guf, meaning a mitzvah that I do myself, or as a mitzvah shef shel yosa yidei shliach. So that's the way Rav Soloveitchik understood the answer of the Rosh, why we recite lahadlik ner Chanukah. It's generally the custom that we don't use a shliach. In my footnote number 11, I suggested another possibility in this Rosh. We have what's called Mahadrin in Ner Chanukah, which is Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. Now, there are two interpretations of what that means. According to the Rambam, Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad means that we add the number of candles that will reflect the number of people in the household. The Rambam, on the other hand, paskins that Mahadrin means Kol Echad V'Echad Yadlik V'Atzma. So is it possible, therefore, that the Riva holds like the Ramah? Again, the Ramah is much later than the Riva, but I'm saying it's the same logical shita. And therefore, the Urcha de Milsa is, in order to fulfill the mitzvah Mahadrin, that I should not appoint a shliach to light on my behalf, but every member of the household will light his own personal Ner Chanukah. And therefore, the bracha is with a lamed as opposed to an al. Now we have the shita of the Ramban. Now, the Sheet of the Ramban is a long, long discussion. It goes on for pages and pages. But we're going to start with one major breakthrough of the Ramban. The Ramban says, Vani Omer, you'll see it on the bottom of page 52 that you have a photocopy of, Shekol mitzvah she'odom yotze bo l'chadchila yidei acher kegon biur kavua be'al v'chein shchita u'mila shafilu av Avia ben shemetzuva lomol espino imgotza vehevi lo moel shemoloso yotzi de chovasa v'chei b'shchita sa pesach u'kodshim she'ein kol echad shochet pischo. Not everyone is going to shecht his own carbon pesach v'kodshim or his own kodshim ela ha'osa l'shmo, that someone does it on his behalf, and therefore the bracha is with a lamed. Now again, I'm not sure, but I think that the Ramban belongs to the camp of the Riva, that if the mitzvah lends itself to shlichus, then it doesn't matter who is actually implementing the mitzvah, whether it's the shliach or the mishaleach, it'll always be a brach with an al. I'm not sure, but I think that's the impression you get. But the problem that I want to focus on is after the Ramban gave three examples of a mitzvah where you, l'chatchila, you could have someone else do it on your behalf. He gave the example of Mila. He has four examples. He has the example of Bedikas Chametz. He has the example of Shechita. And the example of Mila. And then he has Shechita's Kodshim. So you can call 3.5 examples. Then he writes, V'kolshkein, Shlucho Shel Adam, Bekulon, Kimoso, V'hu adin lafrash estrumus umasos v'chala b'chulon mevarchim al. Now this is a very odd Ramban. He has a kol shkein here, a kal v'chomer, in the middle of his presentation. He first presents three mitzvahs. He's got shchita, he's got mila, he's got bedikas chametz, and those are classic examples of what? Of efshal yidei shliach. And then he writes for kol shkein, and how much more so? Shlucho shel adam kimoso, bekulon kimoso.
What does that mean,
kulon? Bekulon in all the other mitzvahs, meaning, like the bekulon means etc. So how much more so in the other mitzvahs which have shlucho shel adam kimoso, that they're the bracha should be baal. And he adds a discussion here about hafrash shumas and maestras and chala, which means that the bracha according to Ramban on shumas and maestras would be with an al. But what does he mean by kol shkein? After all, he just mentioned the din of shlichus with regard to mila, shchita, bedikas chametz, and now he says for kol shkein, how much more so in the other mitzvahs where we can apply the principle of shlucho shel adam kimoso. Well, what's the kol shkein over here? So Rav Soloveitchik wanted to suggest that according to the Ramban, mila, for example, we get to talk about shchita as well, is not shlichus. In other words, when the moel circumcises the son of Reuven, it's not that he is the shliach of Reuven, but that the mitzvah could be accomplished on behalf of Reuven without shlichus. So far that's very abstract. What does that mean? He applies the same thing to shchita in let's say Pesach or Kodshim. He says that when it comes to shchita, there's a principle called someone else shechting it on your behalf. But that's not shlichus. So Rav Soloveitchik asked the following question. If these cases of bedika, mila, and shchita are not cases of shlichus, how could it be that the Gemara in Kiddushin derives the halach of shlichus from shchita? The Gemara says, Minayin sheshlucho shel adam kimoso, shenema v'shachtu oso kol ka'al adas Yisrael. The Torah says in the parasha of Korban Pesach that the entire Kal Yisrael will shech the Korban Pesach. And the Gemara asks, V'chi kol kahal kulam shochtim. Every single last member of Kal Yisrael is a shochet, he's a professional shochet, he has his own lamb, Ella, Mikan, Sheshlucho Shalom Kimoso. So how could it be that the Ramban has two categories? He's got one category called Mila, Shchita, and Bedikas Chametz, which is not Shlichus, yet somebody could do it on your behalf. And then he has the second category, which will apply, for example, in Afrash Shumas and Maestras and Chala, of Shlucho Shalom Kimoso, when in fact the Gemara itself sees the paradigmic case of Shlichus, of Shlucho Shalom Kimoso, as Shchita itself. So therefore, Rav Soloveitchik wants to reinterpret the Ramban. And he wants to say the following. There are two types of shlichus. There's a shlichus with a minui, where I appoint you as a shliach, and then there's a shlichus which doesn't require a minui, but it's osel lishmo. In other words, the action is done on behalf of someone else, without the doer or the active person being appointed as a shliach. There was no minui. Now, for example, the case of get or kiddushin, we need minui. There's no such thing as, well, I'll marry off a girl on your behalf and you'll decide whether you like it or not. I'll divorce your wife on your behalf and you'll decide whether to agree or not. There ain't no such institution. He, the Megaresh, has to appoint someone as a shlich. That's called minui shlichus. Hafrashas Truma, for example. I can't go into your field and take off 2% of your produce and give it to the Kohen on your behalf. I have to be appointed as a Shliach. However, in three cases where there's an absolute chova, an obligation that's incumbent on the Baal HaBayis, for example, the case of Bedikas Chametz, or for example, the Aviyah Ben vis-a-vis his son's Mila, or in the case of a person who's bringing a Korban Pesach, he has an absolute obligation to shech the Korban Pesach, is Mikeva Sheyesh Chova Al HaBaylim, since there is an independent obligation incumbent upon the Baal HaBayis, Ein Tzarech B'Minui. All you need is Asiyah Lishmo. Do it for the sake of the Baylim. And you don't need Shlichus, you don't need Minui Shlichus. But in Gidin V'Kiddushin, there's no Chiyuv on the Baylim. He doesn't have an obligation to marry this girl or to divorce his wife. And therefore, there's no such institution as shlichus without minui. In Truma, likewise, there's no such thing as shlichus without minui. The Gemara says in Bab Metzia, Atem, which is a pasuk in the parish of Truma, it says, Atem gam Atem, Omer Rachmano, l'rabo shluchachem. Ma af Atem l'daitchem, af shluchachem l'daitchem. Meaning the shliach has to be l'das ha-bailim, he has to be sent and appointed on this mission to serve as the agent. So Truma, from that perspective, is similar to Gittin V'Kiddushin. You need a Das Machna, because what happens when a person's Mafresh Truma? Don, what happens in the minute I Mafresh my Truma?
You have the obligation to bring.
Well, who owns it?
The Kohen.
The Kohen owns it. Now, again, you can't say the Kohen, because it's really Shevet Kahuna. I haven't yet designated which Kohen. That's called Tovas Hanah. But as far as Kinyonim is concerned, the very moment that I'm Mafresh Truma, it now leaves the possession of my ownership, and now it becomes a Mamon Kahuna, which is called Shevet Kahuna. Then I have a right, the Torah gave me the right to decide which Kohen I want to give it to. Now, in Das Machna, meaning whenever I'm trying to get your money over to him, I can't do that unless you appoint me as a shliach. You follow? So if I go down to your field and I want to give truma from your field to the Kohen, that's a Das Machna. That requires the owner to transfer ownership over something bidato with his own das. He can appoint me as a shliach or you as a shliach, but you can't do it on his behalf. So we have now three categories in which we must have minui in order for shlichus tafel. We have gittin, we have kiddushin, and now we have truma, which basically truma means kinyanim. In kinyanim, there's no such thing as operating on behalf of someone without being appointed as a shliach. And the reason for this is because we're talking about something that doesn't have a chova. Again, there is a chova to be mafish truma, but I don't have to be mafish. This is truma. And there is a chova in certain cases to get married, right, if you're not married, but it doesn't mean that you have to marry this girl. So in all those cases where there's no chovas bailim, we must have shlichus through minui shlichus, an explicit and Gili Das, an explicit outright appointment as a shliach. On the other hand, we have mitzvos where there's a chiyuv on the bailim. And when there's a chiyuv on the bailim, the Torah says that the shliach could operate on behalf of the bailim even without being appointed as such. And that applies to the cases of Mila and Shchita and Bedikas Chametz, because what's common to all these three cases is that there's a chiyuv on the bailim. So this is the way Rav Soloveitchik wants to understand the Kol Shekein of the Ramban. The Ramban says that we have a shlichus which is not a real full-fledged shlichus, and the brach has to be Baal, because again the person who's operating on someone else's behalf is not the Bar Chiyuva, and therefore he can't make a brach with a lamin, because the brach with a lamin is always on the chiyuv. And Kol Shekein, which more so in the cases of Truma and the like, where you must have a minui shliach, how much more so is the shliach and now he's a full-fledged shliach, he's not just this halfway measure of a shliach, and therefore he is not representing the Bar Chiyuva. Now, The next piece in the Ramban, the Ramban actually changes his mind. Totally, is Poresh, you know, he rescinds his original position. And he writes that Matzasi Achakak Vitosefta, that Hoya Mahalik Lahafris True Mises, Omer Ashakichon Mitzosu Vitzivonu Lehafris True Mises. So the Ramban has a Tosefta where the Nusach HaBroch in the case of Afroshis True Mises with a Lamed says the Ramban, Yeshli Litaken, I want to now fix up what I said before, that in cases where you don't need a minu shlichus, the bracha changes to an al. But in the case where you do need a minu shlichus, v'ein shlichus elo midas bailim al yidei shliach shasu bailim, is then lo damya lebiur. So his paradigm example of a case where you must have a minu shlichus midas bailim is trumas and maisers. There the Tosefta says the bracha is with a lamed. And even though we've established in the case of Bir Chametz and Mila, the bracha is with an al. The Mevarach ben Baal, Niro Lefarish, says the Ramban, the Mishluko Shalom Kimoso, there the bracha is going to be with a lamed. Now here's the paradox. The Ramban now changes his mind. When the Shliach could operate without Minui, and he's doing it L'Shem HaBailim, then the Nusach HaBroch has to reflect the change from lamed to an al. But if the Shliach was appointed by the Bailim, then the bracha is going to be with a lamed. Why? Says Rav Soloveitchik, nearly what the Ramban means to say in his final position is that Bishlucho Shalodom Kimoso, emphasize that word kimoso, logak shemaisa mitzvah mitzuraf la mishalech ela af habracha mitzterefes elov. Klomar shlichus hayidei minui nechshav hamishalech lehamavarech. In other words, even though the shliach is actually reciting the bracha, but al pidin, who's reciting the bracha? The mishalech who appointed him. Because the shliach is kimoso. What does kimoso mean? He's like steps into the shoes of the bailim that appointed him as the agent. What do you say, Gershon?
As if he were that person.
As if he were that person. And that's called shlucho shalom kimoso. That only operates when the mishalech appointed him. It's like smicha, you know. The mishalech puts his, I don't mean this literally, but figuratively, he puts his two hands on the head of the shliach and he says, you are me. You represent me. And everything you do, you're doing as if I did it. And that's called the power of minu shlichus kimoso, and therefore the bracha now is a bracha melamed, because even though you and I see in front of us the shliach, but the halacha, the din, sees in front of him the mishalech, the bailim, who's the baruch yuva, but b'shar mitzvahs, where yesh shlichus b'li minui, ha-bracha nechsheves le-birchoso shel ha-shliach, v'lachen yesh levarach olav ba'al. Wow. Okay, so we'll put this on the side, but very heavy chidushim over here. Yes, please.
No, but where did the Rambam take this from? Because
the Rambam, where did he get it from?
Because to fix a mezuzah, I can get, instead of me putting a mezuzah on my door, I can get you to do it. And the mitzvah is ikvah mezuzah. It's not al kviyat mezuzah.
The bracha of mezuzah is what? What's the assumption? Is al kviyas mezuzah? Is that so?
No,
likvah mezuzah.
Oh, it's likvah mezuzah.
Likvah mezuzah. I looked it up.
I mean, you know what? You can't look it up in a siddur. That's the problem, because we showed him at different schools than what we have an acid dude.
And like al nitirat ulam, I can't get you to. I'm too lazy to get up in the morning, so you'll bench luluf for me.
Right. So the Gemara says al nitil suluf is for a different reason. That's called the agbi nafik be. I don't know if you were here when we discussed
this. You factually picked it up already. It already happened.
Right. So there's no way you can make a bracha on the chiyuv because you've already implemented the chiyuv. In the case of mezuzah, that's a fascinating question. Why should the bracha be with a lamed? I would have assumed that according to the Ramban, the bracha in mezuzah should certainly be with an al. Unless, but I don't know why, unless in the case of mezuzah you need shlucho shalom kibosim, meaning you need a minui shliach. And again, according to the Ramban, whenever you need a minui shliach, he has the Tosefta regarding trumas and maisus, the bracha is with a lamed. So in the case of mezuzah, I can't understand why mezuzah would be different than bedikas chametz. In bedikas chametz, since you have a chiyuv, therefore I can go ahead and implement that chiyuv on your behalf, even without a minishliyah. What about mezuzah? I would say the same thing should apply to mezuzah, so far as you have a chiyuv, and therefore, anyone could come along and put up the mezuzah on your behalf, and therefore you should make a bracha with an al. The question is, what is the bracha on mezuzah? I don't know. It's possible. Again, it's possible that the Ramban had a bracha mezuzah with an al. For that, we'd have to do a lot more research and figure out what is the nusach of the bracha with regard to mezuzah. Again, when I say what is the bracha, I don't mean halach l'maisa. I'm talking in the Rishonim period of time. And the Rishonim have tons of nuschos that we don't have. You know, you'll find a lamed here and an al here, For example, the riva that we're learning now, and the Ramban seems to agree with the riva that any mitzvah that lends itself to shlichus is with an al. And I don't think that's the way we paskin. For example, the Aviyah Ben, I think, if you look it up in your siddur, I think says with a lamed. So that's what I'm telling you. That long bull, I think, in the case of the father. Again, it's a rare case. I don't know how often you've been at a bris mila with the father himself. You did it?
Oh, yeah?
And what did you do? You remember what bracha you used?
Yeah.
It was long bull?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that, long bull, in the case of the father, is the Ramam Shita, but it's against many, many other Rishonim. So again, when you talk about how this filters down to the Sidurim, that's a whole other story. Now, Rabosai, I want to talk to you about the mitzvah of tzedakah for a minute. We said that if a person gives tzedakah for the health and the well-being of his son, harezet tzadik gamur. Remember we discussed the case where he's checking his house for chametz and he's really looking for a machat, that he lost. His wife lost the diamond ring. So he does a really good bedika because he's really looking for the diamond ring. And we said that in such a case, is there shluchei mitzvah nizakim? Is there not shluchei mitzvah nizakim? Is he really dedicated to the mitzvah? If it's lishma, is it not lishma? And in that context, the Gemara brought a statement here. We'll take it. It starts on Chesam and Aleph, goes on to Chesam and Beis, and it says in the Brisa, Omer Selazul Tzedakah B'Shvil Sheyichya Bni, and it goes on to say on Amid Beis, Harezet Tzadik Gamur. Now, I was wondering if this is a special halacha in Tzedakah, because the purpose of Tzedakah, the goal of this mitzvah, is to make sure that the ani is provided with his needs. Correct? So the fact that the nosein hatzdaka is interested in some sort of a segula power, that it'll generate the health of his son or his daughter, that doesn't detract from the mitzvah itself. Because the purpose of the mitzvah is that the ani received the tzedaka, and that he did. But then I was wondering about the Lashon Harezet Tzadik Gamur. So I found something here that I want to read to you. Let me just get it out for a second, if we can probably. This was written by Rav Aaron Kahn. I don't know if anybody knows Rav Aaron Kahn. He's Rav Yitzchel Chanan Yeshiva Ritz at Yeshiva University, Rav Aaron Kahn. So he writes a collection of notes on what he heard from Rav Soloveitchik. So what I gave you is what I heard from Rav Soloveitchik. But he writes that tzedaka shona mishar mitzvahs. That tzedaka is different than other mitzvahs. Shebitzdaka ein hevdel gadol bein lishma v'bein shelo lishma. In other words, since at the end of the day the recipient has his money, he received his money, therefore what difference does it make whether it's lishma or shalom lishma? And he writes the following, may olam lo chashva b'gemara div shalom lishma ein kan kiyu mitzvah kol ikar. Meaning, even before the braisa, We understood, and I didn't need the brisa for that, that a person could discharge his obligation of tzedakah and fulfill that mitzvah even if he does it shelo lishma, even if he's motivated by extraneous reasons. So what is the chiddush of this brisa? And he says the following, that this brisa is focused on schar mitzvah, not on the kiyuma mitzvah, not on the discharging of his obligation. That was poshut even before the brisa, that if a person gives tzedakah, he has fulfilled his obligation. Let's say he has to give $10. So he gave $10, and that's it. I don't care what motivates him. The shalol lishma is not going to undermine his mitzvah. He was mekayim the mitzvah. But the chiddush of the brisa is, what kind of schar will he get for that mitzvah? And you might argue, if not for the brisa, that since it's shalol lishma, maybe he won't get the schar for the mitzvah, or he'll only get part of the schar for the mitzvah. That's what the brisa wants to emphasize here. Hareza tzadik gamur. Not only is he a tzadik in the sense that he fulfilled his obligation, but he's a tzadik gamur, and he'll get the schar for the mitzvah. And he goes on to say that, again, this sounds kabbalistic to me, that shleimus ha'adam of ramach evarim, that a person has 248 organs in his body, and each organ, he says, is in a spiritual sense corresponds to a mitzvah. And he says, for example, if somebody doesn't put on tefillin, then it's pogem biyado. It's as if his arm is not complete. In a spiritual sense, I mean, obviously we're not going to take him to a physician. The physician will find that Baruch Hashem, his arm is healthy. But ke'ilu chaser lo hayad mibchina ruchanit, on a spiritual level, it's as if his arm is incomplete, and that could be in a case of shelo lishma, where he fulfills his mitzvah. So he has the nitty gritty kiyum, he discharged his duty, but since he was shelo lishma, he wasn't really motivated for the mitzvah, I could argue that he doesn't get the shlemus of the mitzvah, meaning this perfection upgrading of his spiritual body, body meaning corresponding to the 248 limbs, that he won't achieve. So that's what the brisa wants to tell us. Harezet tzadik gomur. It means that, I'm going to read to you the language. Hakadosh Baruch Hu niyachas ha'adam bilti shalem. Man was created by God incomplete. Bili tmimus, without perfection. Vehu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu nasan liyodam koach. Man was endowed with the potential lihishtalem, to perfect himself through the asiyas hamitzvus. So our 248 organs, as they were created by God, are incomplete, so to speak, on a spiritual level. And God gave us the possibility, the potential of completing them through what? Through fulfilling the 248 mitzvahs. Al yidei zeh, if a person fulfills the mitzvahs, nase ha'odom shutaf bibriya. Man becomes, so to speak, a partner in creation, because he's perfecting that which God gave him. Bitztaka. The chiddush of the brisa is she'efshal lahasik shleimut zu gam be'asiyas hamitzvah nesinas hatzedakah shelo lishma. In other words, not only is the fact that the recipient is a happy man because now he has money to buy his breakfast today, and therefore you fulfill the basic mitzvah, but it's even more than that. It is a shleimus hamitzvah. It's a tzadik gamur, and it's as if he gave the money lishma. And that means that he was mashlim the mitzvah, and whatever this mitzvah has to accomplish in terms of adding to a person's perfection to be mashlim him, that he achieves, and nitvase flagavra shlemus. And now he has the additional perfection through the mitzvah. Now, in a footnote, he says that the Rav made a comment, which he found fascinating, Rav Aaron Kahn. Im nosan Ruvain stokel Shimon, v'nimtza sheShimon eino ani klal. He was duped, I guess you would say. El asher hu mikol makom yesh leRuvain b'nisioso kiyum mitzvah stokel. I don't know where the Rav knows this from. And then the Rav adds, "Velo dami lemitzus tefillin, shemeiniach tefillin v'nimtzu psulos, lo kiem shum mitzvah klal." You know, if my heart goes out for someone, and there are many people who are wearing tefillin that are not kosher, unfortunately. Again, not here in this present company, but if you go out there in the wild, in the wild blue yard, you know, the people haven't checked their tefillin in decades, you know, and they left their tefillin in places where, you know, in the hot sun or whatever it is. He says it's das very garnished. It's not worth anything. But in the case of tzedakah, imagine I gave tzedakah to an usher. He duped me. Again, an usher doesn't mean that he, you know, he's the billionaire from the mafia. No, that's not what we're talking about. An usher means a person who's not an ani. An ani technically is someone who has less than Masai Mizuzi. He doesn't have enough money to get through the year or whatever it might be. And he duped me. And he came and he said, he told me a whole hullabaloo story, you know, a bunch of malarkey. And I gave him money. The Rav says I was Makai in the midst of stuff. That I don't understand. I'd like to know how he knows such a thing. And in the footnote, he doesn't tell you, so that I'm just fascinated by it. Now the Rav wants to know something else. Yeah, David?
I'm just adding to that point. I think maybe in this mitzvah, there are two beneficiaries. We think it's just the Ani gets help, or maybe there's our Midos development. Our job here is to build our character and our Midos.
That's interesting.
Gives us good.
Maybe what the Rav means is not the mitzvah stalker per se, but the building of my Midos.
If you
have $1,000, you're supposed to give a thousand times tzedakah,
you should divvy it up into smaller portions. That's the Chofetz Chaim condition.
Actually, the gematria of tzedakah is 199. So if you have,
well, so what's the?
So the fact is, if that's when you need tzedakah, if you have if you don't have up to 199,
you must have Masayim Zuz,
you don't need tzedakah anymore.
Right.
It's 199.
But this I find a pill. I mean, again, David's offering a possibility here. You know, if you want to be a foul pill in a footnote in a written document, I have a photocopy of the written document. And the Rav is assuming that you could be Makai in the midst of tzedakah even if you gave it to an usher. And I find that fascinating and wild. But now, the next paragraph I thought was really, really interesting. There's another form of tzedakah where you don't give money to an ani, but rather you give tzedakah to the Beis HaMikdash. So let's say at the time of the Mikdash, I consecrate, you know, $100 for the Beis HaMikdash, for Berek HaBayis. He says, Ekan ha'nolat le'ish misuyom prati. He says, you're not really giving benefit to any particular individual who's in need. He says that comes under a mitzvah that has its own parsha in the Torah. Can anybody guess which parsha this is? Where you give a contribution to the Beis HaMikdash? And that's a different kind of mitzvah of tzedakah? Okay, if I asked you this in about a month, you would definitely know the answer. And that's the parsha of Truma. Because it says, V'yikhu li Truma. That God says, give me the Truma. So I'm not giving it to an ani, but it's a Truma. Truma means tzedakah. But I'm giving it to Hashem, Kaviyochel. Shonehu mi parsha satzedakah li'onim prati, which is the parsha Pasot Tiftach es Yodcha. And hine b'parshas mos lekodesh, he says, it says, mikol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhu es shumas. Meaning, in the case of giving money to an enterprise, to a hegdesh, there's no obligation. The parsha of Truma is contingent upon nedivus lev. What does nedivus lev mean? His heart prompts him. But the ilu b'tzedak la'niyim, the halach in Shulchan Aruch is kofenos olases. If a person refuses to give tzedak and he has the wherewithal, and there's a definite need on the part of the aniyim, we're going to compel him against his will, even if it means confiscating his property. Again, and today you can't institute this. You know, you get in deep trouble. But in the pure world of halach, the abstract world, is we see that the Torah is machshiv tzedakah to an ani on a much higher level, to the extent to which A, you're obligated, and B, we can compel you to fulfill that obligation. In the case of tzedakah to an institution, in this case to Hegdesh, there's no obligation. It's all a question of divas halev. And certainly there's no kfiya. We cannot force. So I wanted to say a vart here, if I can add my own footnote. Why is it that when it comes to the mitzvah of Truma, and the building of the Mishkan, the Torah says, Isha sheyidven libo. There's no obligation, we can't compel you. It's all a question of whether you feel it in your heart. And I think perhaps the answer lies in the pasuk itself. It says, V'asu li migdash, v'shachanti b'socham. So you know what God says to man? Look, we can have a long distance relationship. I'm up to the seventh zvul, and that's fine. You know, call me up on a long distance phone call. You know, send me an email, or what's it today? A WhatsApp, right? So no. Hashem says, I'm going to give you another opportunity. V'shachanti b'sochem. We're going to have a close relationship, an intimate relationship. Build me a house, and I will be mashma my shechina in that house. But here, it depends on the divas halev. God says, look, I'm not going to impose myself on you. You want to be mavakish Hashem, you want to desire that relationship, then come forward and build me a mishkan. Yesh lahavin, he says, gam k'shen nosein mos lebeis hamigdash, ein hu nosein avur HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When God needs my gift, what does it mean? V'yiklu li truma. Right? Ein ot tzorach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein ot tzorach l'nidvusenu. He doesn't need our nidava. So he says the following. What does it mean, v'yikhu li? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that the Beis HaMikdash is for Klal Yisrael. Any nidava, any gift that you give on your own volition, you know, voluntary gift, for the Beis HaMikdash, that's also a kiyum of gemilus chasodin. To whom are you doing chesed? Not to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but to Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael needs the Beis HaMikdash. So just to summarize, we have two parshas of Tzedakah, we have the parsha Pasach Tiftach, and that's a Chiyuv, and then we have a parsha of Yikhu Truma, where the money is not going to any individual army. So also, I was thinking out loud here, suppose you have a set sum of money, an allotment of money that's designated for the mitzvah of tzedakah. And now you have two options. You can donate it to the synagogue, or you can donate it for the aniyim. Which should come first? So again, I don't know what the halach is, and you really have to be a buck in the tzedakah. So what I'm telling you is just, you know, shooting from the hip. What would you say, Kesh? If all things are equal, you know what I mean? Let's not talk about a building campaign, and you know, there are many different scenarios, but I'm saying, just in general, you know, you have your money and you can give it either to an ani, a poor person, or you can give it to the synagogue. Well, you were a rabbi of the synagogue, so you'll vote in favor of the synagogue. let's say...
I can argue for each way. I mean,
but based on what we said before, which mitzvah is a greater mitzvah? Is it the mitzvah of Pasach Tiftach Es Yodcha, which means you have an ani and he needs it, or the mitzvah of Yikhu Truma, where you're not giving the money to any specific person to fulfill his needs, but rather for the sake of the Beis HaMikdash, which is Gemilas Chasadim, but it's not the same. And we had two differences. Number one, we said in the case of Beis HaMikdash, there was no Chiyuv, it's only Nediva Salim. And number two, there was no Din of Kfir, that we can never force you to give up the money. So we see now that the mitzvah of tzedakah for an ani, for a poor person, is greater. It's a weightier mitzvah than the mitzvah of giving tzedakah for the institution, even though that represents klalis. So I would suggest that if you had that money, again, if you could divvy up the money into small portions, I'm not talking about that, but if it was a tug of war, then I would prefer, again, not halach levaisa, but I'm just saying.
But the synagogue also gives, you know, free loans.
So that's something different. Then really you're giving to the ani through the intermediary of the gaboy stock of the synagogue. Now the Gemara goes ahead and quotes another statement here in the name of, who is it? I forget. I forgot the name here right now, but let's just go on. The Gemara says, "Mipnei ma ein peros ginyosar biYerushalayim on daf ches amid beit." So why aren't these beautiful, sweet fruits in Yerushalayim? They don't grow in Yerushalayim. They grow around the Kinneret, but not in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, because we don't want the ole regel to come and say, you know, it was worth coming from Beersheva. I made the schlep all the way to Yerushalayim for the regel because I got to eat the peros ginyosar. He says, Madua Tzarch Zahiris Yisera, why did a God organize it that there would be, he was very careful Shalo yahafach aliyah l'regel l'mitzvah shalo l'shma. I mean, basically you can say about every mitzvah that we don't want to do the mitzvah shalo l'shma, we want to do it l'shma. But here we see an emphasis on aliyah l'regel. That with regard to aliyah l'regel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu denied Yerushalayim of the Peros Kinosar. Why? So that we shouldn't do it shalo l'shma. He says, Ayin Baramban, in Parshas Re'eh, in Dvar Yud Beis, it says, L'shichno sidrishu ubasa shama. So Ramban says, Shatel chulo me'eretz merchakim, we should come from a far distance, v'tishalu ana derech beis Hashem. You're coming from a far, far, far off place, and you're looking for Yerushalayim, you're looking for the Beis HaMikdash, you want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, so you start asking people for directions. V'yomrulo, and they'll say to him, one person to his friend, Ish L'Reyehu, L'chu, let's join you, V'nale El Beis Hashem Elokein. In other words, the whole process of L'shichno Sidrishu Basa Shoma, which is a pasuk in the parash of Aliyah L'Regel, is to get as many people involved in going up El Har Beis Hashem. Hainu, Shedoresh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehi Chelik Mimitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, that the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel is to look for the Har Beis Hashem. And therefore, Shalo Lishma, in the case of Aliyah L'Regel, is antithetical to the essence and the agenda, the purpose of the mitzvah. B'shar mitzvahs, etzem kiyum pu'ulas ha-mitzvah, he afilu b'shalo lishma, because there's a kiyum ha-mitzvah in the pu'ulas ha-mitzvah, v'shayni Aliyah L'Regel, Shebeli Drishas Hashem, if you're not interested in looking for God, the Aliyah L'Regel is to search, to be gravitationally pulled to the place of Har Hashem, is Enkan Shlemus Adam Kol Ikar. And therefore, the Torah wanted to guarantee that when you come on Aliyah L'Regel, you're not coming for, you know, extraneous reasons because you want to enjoy the fruits of the Ginosar, because the Chisarn of Shalo Lishma is antithetical to the whole purpose of Aliyah L'Regel, which is Drishas Har Beis Hashem. Did anybody follow what I said? No. So let me try to say one more time. In every single mitzvah, with exception of one, the mitzvah is built into the action. The action is the mitzvah that obtains the kiyum. The exception is Aliyah L'Regel. In Aliyah L'Regel, the Torah says, as the Ramban amplifies it, that we want to go up to the Har Beis Hashem. We have a desire to get close to God. And therefore, if you do it Shalo Lishma because you want to eat what? Peros Kinosar, then in a sense you're really undermining the whole purpose of the mitzvah. There's no just physical, mechanical mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. I mean, there is, but there's a purpose here to the mitzvah. That's Lidrosh is Beis Hashem. So based on that, Ramban, Rav Soloveitchik wants to claim that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized it, that there would not be Peres Ginosar in Yerushalayim, to guarantee that in the case of Aliyah L'Regel, the mitzvah will be Lishma, doing it for the purpose of seeking out. Right, in this case, we're going to say that we need the Lishma. It could be that in general, we can fulfill the mitzvah of Shlemus without Lishma. We can do the B'dikas Chametz and find whatever lost objects we want to find. And we still get the full Shlemus HaMitzvah, like we saw in Stok HaRez and Tzadik Gomer. But in the case of Aliyah L'Regel, if you're going there for the good fruits, or today we can give other reasons why you're going to Yerushalayim, you know, all the restaurants and this, that, and the other thing, so that undermines the whole purpose of the mitzvah. Okay, Rabbi, so now we're starting a new Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. You okay? Ain choshishin. No, the person's wearing tefillin and he's yawning, I get nervous, you know, because there's an Issa, you're not allowed to fall asleep in tefillin. Maybe by wearing the tefillin it'll keep you awake, because you'll make sure that you don't fall asleep. Ein choshishin shemagira chulda mi bayis labayis umi makom lemakom diim kain is mi chatzer lechatzer, mi ear li ear, vi ein ledavar sof. Imagine, you check a house, or let's say a room in a house. You turn your back, and you're on your way to check another room. In the meantime, the weasel takes the chametz from that room where you're about to check and brings it back to the room that you already checked. So now you got to go back to the first room to check. And not only that, but let's say you check two rooms. Well, maybe the chulda found a piece of chametz outside your house and brought it inside your house. And if you checked your chatzer, maybe the chulda is going to bring it from a different city or a different part of the city into your chatzer. Is ein ledavar sof. There's no end. There's no way that you can accomplish bedikas chametz if you're worried about a chulda. And the Gemara says, "Taima de lo chazina de shakel." The only reason why the Mishnah says "ein choshishin" is because we don't have to imagine that the chulda took chametz and went into my house. Ha chazina de shakel. But let's say I saw with my own eyes that the chulda took a piece of chametz from somewhere else, and he brought it into, or she brought it into the place where I already was boding. Is then chayshinon? Then for sure I have to go back and I have to check the place again because I saw the chulda going in with chametz. So that's called boy bidika. So the Gemara is upset about this. Vamai neima achlasei. Why don't we assume that the chulda ate the chametz? Milo tnan. Don't we have a Mishnah? And this Mishnah is in Masechta Olos. Masechta Olos is a very long, complicated Masechta of Mishnayos dedicated to the laws of Tumas Metz. And there in the Mishnah it says that Maduros Akum, that if you have an apartment, a flat where Goyim live, is then Tmeim. Tmeim means that we have to worry about the fact that there might be tumah there, and if you go in there, let's say a Kohen is not allowed to go in there because he'll contract tumah, or even a Jew who's not a Kohen, he'll contract tumah, is tmeim. Oh, so the Gemara says, "V'kama yishev b'mador v'yia mador tzarech b'dika arboim yom v'yaf b'isha ein lo isha." Avol b'kol makom shechulda v'chazi yicholim lahalich l'sham is eino tzarech b'dika. So on the one hand, we're worried about tumah, and we'll explain exactly what that entails. We're worried about tumah in maduros akum. These are domicile, place of domicile of goyim. But on the other hand, if there's a chulda floating around, then we can assume that the any tumah that was there was eaten up, was consumed by the chulda. So we see very carefully, we see very clearly that when there's a chulda, we can rely on the chulda. Chulda is reliable. The chulda knows to eat whatever is problematic, consume it. If we apply that to the case of chametz, even if we saw the chulda with our own eyes entering into the house that was baduk, carrying chametz, let's assume that the chulda ate the chametz. Amar abzeir lokasha, habe basar vehabe lechem. There's a difference between flesh and bread. So in the case where I saw the chulda carrying bread in, there we have a principle called the lechem mishaira. Lechem mishaira means that she won't eat all the lechem, she'll only eat part of it, and part of it she'll put aside for the future. But in the case of basar, the derech of these animals, of these creatures, is lechol es habasar v'eino mosira. They don't leave any leftovers of the basar. That's the principle of Rav Zeira. Rav Amar, Rav says that he doesn't understand the question to begin with. The question itself never gets off the ground. We don't need this answer of Rav Zeira to differentiate between basar and lechem. Hi, my. What are you talking about? There's no equation whatsoever. Bishlei Mahasim, in the case of Amaduras Akum, the reason why you don't have to check for Tumah in a case where there's a Chulda or a Chazir that's going in that area, that's because Milchatchila, from the get-go, the whole situation was Safek. Emor Hava, Emor Loav. We didn't know that there was Tumah there to begin with. So if you had a Safek, then then you have like a svek svek here, because even on, if I grant you the worst case analysis that there is tumah there, then there's also a strong tzad to assume that the chulda would have eaten the tumah, consumed it. In Tutsaloma Hava, even if you'll say that there is tumah there, Amar Achalte. So everything is based on an Amar, meaning everything is based on an assumption. The reason that you want to be Metame is based on an assumption that there is tumah there. We don't even know that there's tumah there. And now we can apply another possibility that maybe the Chulda, even if there was a tumah there, ate up the tumah. And that's called Safek U Safek. But here in the case where I saw the chulda going in with chametz, devadai de chazina de shakal, there's no question that there was chametz there, so that's called a vadai. Umi emer da achalte, you know, there is a chance that the chulda may have eaten it up, but we don't know that that's so. Vahavi safek uvadai. This means that we started with a vadai and we end up with a safek. V'ein safek motzi midei vadai. That safek is not strong enough to remove from a vadai, which means that when you have a vadai, then the status changes and the chazaka changes. I did a bedika, and therefore I set up a chazaka of baduk, that the house is baduk. But now I see that chametz is going into the house. That makes a chazaka of eno baduk. So we replace the original chazaka that was generated by the bedika with a chazaka of chametz. Why? Because we saw in front of our eyes the weasel going in with chametz. Ah, now you have a chazaka which is called a cheskas isur, that there is chametz there. Now you want to come up with a suffix that maybe the animal ate up the chametz, is ain't suffix motzvi devadai. A suffix can't measure up against a chazaka. The chazaka is that the bias is not baduk, because we saw chametz going in there, that creates a vadai. Now you want to create some sort of a counter argument that the chametz was removed. I don't know that the chametz was removed, and therefore I'm left with a safek. Was the chametz removed? Was it not chametz removed? And now we apply the principle of ein safek motze midei vadai, that a vadai is entrenched, and until you have another vadai to remove, to counter that vadai, you cannot undermine that vadai. I wanted to, since I brought this in today, and we have another 5 minutes maybe, I wanted to read another paragraph here from Rav Aaron Kahn. And he says the following. What was the Hava Mina before our Mishnah? What could have been our argument that as soon as I finish my bedika and I move towards the other room, I have to worry about a chulda that might come in from the place that I haven't yet checked with a piece of chametz and bring it into the place that I was bodek? He says, Hava Mina, di emas yesh lemakom mesuyam bebayis cheskas baduk. Hainu dafka kishabada kalabayas kulo. Vilazek hitchalana mishnah sheino kane. Elakol chelik me abayas kishubodko. Yeshlo cheskas bodik bifneyatsmo. Ulahachi lo chayshino. Let me try to explain this in my own words. The purpose, the goal of bedika is to create what's called a cheskas bodik. But now I have to define my unit. There's got to be a unit, an area, which now becomes, or is, let's say, endowed with the status of a cheskas baduk. And here's where we can argue in two different directions. Here's where we're going to vacillate. What is this makom that enjoys or obtains a cheskas baduk? Is it A? Is it the entire bias as an entity? Or is it every segment of the bias? Can I take the bias and break it down into smaller pieces? And I can establish a cheskas baduk on smaller pieces. If not for this Mishnah, I would have postulated that in order to create a cheskas baduk, I need that the bias itself be baduk, and the bias in its entirety is baduk. So then while I'm in the process of bedika, and I haven't yet completed that process, the bias is not baduk, so the cheskas baduk is not engendered. And if that be the case, then I have to worry about a chulda. Meaning, since the bias is not baduk, then I haven't accomplished the purpose of bedika. Or do we say no? That every section of the bias is in itself considered like a bias insofar as it can achieve and receive a cheskas baduk. And therefore, after I finish one room, for example, that room itself, or for example a corner of a room, a zavis, that makom now is endowed with a status change called cheskas baduk. Once I have a cheskas baduk, then I don't have to worry about a chulda coming in, because that would undermine my chazaka. The Torah relies on chazaka, and the Torah says you only reject the chazaka if you have a vadai against that chazaka. So you're saying, well, maybe a chulda went in there, maybe a chulda didn't go in there. And the answer is cheskas baduk. If I have a cheskas baduk, then I don't have to be choshesh for a chulda. Why? Because that's only a suffik, and the cheskas baduk is a vadai. So a suffik doesn't remove from a vadai. So again, in the Havamim we thought that in order to achieve and create a cheskas baduk, you need a bedika on the entire entity, the entire house, the whole bias. So if I check one room, that room, insofar as I haven't finished the next room, is not endowed with the cheskas baduk. If I have no cheskas baduk, then I have to worry about chametz going in there, because the chulda is going to carry the chametz in. Says the Mishnah, no, that's not so. You don't need to wait until you complete the entire process of bedika on the entire bais until you can generate a cheskas baduk. But every single location where you checked receives as a result of your bedika cheskas baduk, and therefore you don't have to worry about a chulda. Did anybody understand what I said? I feel like I'm looking at it, I'm staring, you know, I'm getting blank stares over here. Alright. So Rabosai, I just want to add here a footnote. And that is that according to the maskana of this Mishnah, that I'm not choshesh for chulda, it means every single part of the house that I check with the bedika simultaneously is endowed with the status of a cheskas baduk. And Lechora, that's going to answer Tosus's question here, Divrei Maskil Ein. He says, V'im Tomar, why did the Mishnah have to tell us, Hamei Reisha Shamina? The Reish itself teaches me this halacha. The Ketani Kol Mokom Sheimach Nisim Ochomets Ein Tzorach Bedika. Which means that I don't have to worry about a chulda. Right? There are certain places, like remember we spoke about Otso Shemen, right? Nobody goes in there with chomets usually. Or certain chorim that are very high, very low, and all that discussion. That's called a makom sheimach nisim bochomet. Such a place doesn't need bedika. Well, wait a minute. The chulda doesn't know your rules that we don't bring chomets into the otzer of shemen. The chulda may have brought in the chomets. And the answer is that it's called a makom sheimach nisim bochomet. So I already know from the first Mishnah that is considered a chazaka, and once I have the chazaka, it becomes a makom sheimach nisim bochomets. Then I don't have to worry about a chulda. So you don't have to tell me ein choshen shemegira chulda, etc., etc. I already know that from the Mishnah. The answer is poshut. Tosfos has no argument. Why? Because the first Mishnah is only telling me that the chazaka of this place is that there is no chametz there, and in such a case, I don't have to worry about the chulda. But now we're talking in the second Mishnah about a makom shemach nisim o chametz. So therefore the chazak is that there is chametz there. Elo what? You made a bedika. Yeah, but you didn't check the whole house. You only checked part of the house. And if you checked only part of the house, in the meantime, the chulda is carrying around a piece of chametz in its mouth from another part of the house, which is not baduk, into the place where you made a bedika. Because the chulda is not impressed with the fact that you made a bedika. So we see that if not for this Mishnah, we would have assumed that in a makom shemach nisim bo chametz, if you want to transform the status of that makom through your bedika, you have to be bodik on the entire house. Because until you finish your bedika on the entire house, it doesn't generate, you haven't created a cheskes bottom. And the Mishnah is being mechadish me, no, that I can take the bias and break it down into its component segments, and each segment after its bedika takes upon itself a new status of a cheskes bottom. That I cannot derive from the first Mishnah, because the first Mishnah is talking about a place that doesn't need bedika, because the chazaka is that emach nisim bochomets, there is no chomets there. In such a case, I certainly don't have to worry about a weasel coming into chomets, and that's the Mishnah. But in a case where I have a cheskas eino baduk, which means it's a makom shemachnisim vol chomets, and therefore the chazaka says that you brought in chomets there the whole year round, let's assume there's still chomets there. Ella, that the bedik has to change the status and generate a status of cheskas baduk, well, how do I know that the cheskas baduk applies individually to segments after my bedika? Maybe the cheskes baduk will only be engendered after I complete my entire bedika on the entire house. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah, that there's a cheskes baduk that's engendered simultaneously with your bedika, even before you completed your bedika on the entire house. Okay, Rabbi Moshe, we'll stop here, and I want to wish everyone a great Shabbos, and thank you very much. I haven't seen these in decades. I'm so excited. I found it.
What year is that?
I don't have the fly page, you know, the title page. I'll look it up.
I think
I heard he speaks about a Eruv. Is that his thing?
No, Rav Shecht is giving a whole series on Eruv.